Hello, I'm Anita Gaidra.
And I'm Don McMahon. Welcome to How Did I End Up Here? A Soft Irish Rain production for Highland Radio about people from all over the world who, like us, have made Donegal their home.
If you're the kind of person who believes in fate, you would have to say that fate intervened twice in Fada Mustafa's life. First, when the Palestinian met a teacher from Donegal in Dubai, and again when he met a former Israeli soldier in Letterkenny.
My name's Fadl Mustafa.
I must admit, I have a problem. I cannot definitely say that I am from. I can say I am, you know. So I am Palestinian. But I cannot say, unfortunately, that I am from Palestine.
I live in Ballyar, Remelton, County Donegal. How did I end up here? Simply through my wife, my love. She brought me here.
Fadl was born in a Palestinian refugee camp in the mainly Christian East Beirut in 1972. During the Lebanese Civil War, his father Mohammed, who was a teacher, moved the family to West Beirut for safety. Fadl stayed behind with an uncle. But a few weeks later, when things deteriorated, he was smuggled out by a Christian friend in the back of a fruit and vegetable truck. He was only 4 years old, but he remembers the moment he was reunited with his father on the border.
When he saw me coming out of the van, he thanked the man very much. And I remember he didn't issue a single word to me. He just looked at me, hugged me, grabbed my hand, and we just walked by side back to our house, which was not very far away from the line.
Tensions grew in West Beirut, and by the time Fadl was 8, the family had moved again, this time to the United Arab Emirates. When the civil war ended in 1991, he returned to Lebanon for university.
I saw the destruction that the civil war and the Israeli invasion had created for people, whether it was a physical destruction or mental and psychological destruction. And I felt so strongly towards the Palestinian refugees because I was Palestinian as well. And then I connected myself to those, to the plight of these Palestinian refugees in Lebanon. And that's when my frustration started showing. And that's when I decided to do something about it.
So he joined a political party and went to a military training camp in the mountains. But soon he became disillusioned with its ideology and returned to Dubai to complete his education. During this time, he had many conversations with his father, who was just 7 years old when he witnessed a massacre of a group of olive harvesters by armed Jewish settlers.
And he started enlightening me of more facts and more real stories about the political problem between the Arabs themselves, between the Arabs and the Israelis, between the Arabs and the rest of the world, between the Palestinians and Israelis. So I became to start getting a better education and a better picture of what the situation really is. I started getting my own point of view as well about it. And many times I would sit with my father and we'd have discussions and dialogues and conversations that sometimes would turn into arguments as well, because we were sort of a different background. Where I have to say, my father is a peaceful man. He never, even after I got the grasp of the situation, he never instilled hate or anger in me. The conversations were based solely on historical background of his life in Palestine. Well, luckily, I didn't go back to Lebanon, because I would have probably ended up leading a life of violence, maybe. I wouldn't be sitting here, perhaps. You never know. But all that anger was still growing and growing inside of me.
You'll get yours.
Oh,
thank you. You'll get yours when you finish your lunch.
I don't want to take. Can I have
one? Did you finish your lunch?
Did you ask for cheese?
It's on the cheese.
Yes, I did.
And I think when I met Aoife, things started to change. I used to express my anger and frustration to her, and she would always was trying to encourage me to do something positive with it, to instead of lead in the violence way, do something more positive about it, about your anger. If you are concerned about your Palestinian people, do something positive to help them, not something negative. And she always said that to me.
Well, I suppose, yeah, when we first met, we were obviously attracted to each other and we got on very well, and we were living in two different cities, so we would have spent a lot of time on the telephone. So a lot of time was discussion over such topics. And I straight away sensed his anger, and he was very vocal about his anger and would have come out with a lot of statements that I would have considered completely racist and completely discriminatory. And that for me was hard to accept, you know, and I would have tried to make him see what he was saying was wrong, you know, and Fadl being Fadl would have argued back. And I suppose I would have been embarrassed if he would have said it to other people, because what he was saying I totally disagreed with, but I could see why he felt that way. You know, I could kind of understand. And I think it's only really now in the last maybe year or two that I can see a change in Fadl's opinion about certain other races and other nationalities and other people. But I knew that he wasn't a bad person. You know, I could still see that.
They moved to Donegal in 2005, a year after their first daughter Alia was born, and settled in Remelton, where Mira and Meta completed their family of five.
The music to go down, please. Thank you very much. My name is Idan, and I'm the writer and the director of the piece of theater that you're going to see in 2 minutes.
So my name is Idan Meir, and I'm 36. I was born in a small town in the outskirts of Tel Aviv.
Curtis is excited as well. We're going to bring you today a story from the Middle East. From Israel and Palestine.
Idan had trained as a Navy commando, kind of, but after the death of his best friend Guy on a mission, he turned his back on a military career, joined Combatants for Peace, and immersed himself in political theatre. Around this time, he met Bassam Aramin, a Palestinian who, despite the killing of his young daughter by Israeli soldiers, had embraced the peace movement.
Only mine. It was me who allowed her to go to school.
When I met Bassam, I realized they have a story that would be exactly the voice that I was looking for, the voices that we, the Israelis, don't want to hear. Because it was the voice of normality that does not ask revenge, even though his tragedy. All he wants is justice. All he wants is a human gesture. And to our children, that somebody will just say, "We're sorry." Go home. That was the story of Bassam, and this is a story that I have to bring to Tel Aviv. I have to bring to the theater, and I start to work on this story.
And sang for her the Olive Song for the last time, so that she wouldn't have to go into her deep sleep alone. If I avenge the blood of your sister, then we have lost this battle forever.
In 2011, Idan moved to County Donegal with his completed play. By then, Fadl had been attending some meetings of Combatants for Peace in Belfast. So when he found out there was to be a reading of a play called Bassam and Letterkenny, he was curious.
Aoife saw it in the programme and she said, "Why don't we go?" And I was a bit reluctant to go, to tell you the truth, because I didn't know. I didn't want to be bombarded with Israeli propaganda.
Thank you.
And I noticed that when Father entered the room, that he's a Palestinian, because he wore the Palestinian scarf. I felt that it's a great privilege for us to create a dialogue in this space of Anguinan. And then after the reading, I saw that Fadel, even by the way he was sitting, I saw that he was so into the story, and it was so intense. He sat on the front side of the tip of the chair, and he was like he was almost on stage, and he asked a lot of questions.
Because the name didn't suggest anything to me. The name of the play didn't suggest anything to me. It suggested just the name of a person. And what I read from the program in the theater was only a very short snap of what the story is. But I was looking forward to the more detailed story of it. How is it going to end? How is it going to develop? What's inside, deeply inside of it? And I went there with that opinion. And then during the reading, I thought, oh, there's an Israeli guy who understands the Palestinian people, who understands the turmoil that these Palestinian people have. And he's actually doing something about it. He's actually spreading a message to let people become aware of this situation. And I was surprised, but at the same time, I was impressed that an Israeli person would actually do something about it and not just talk about it. Well, initially I never thought of playing the actor or playing the part at all. I thought that it was only going to be a reading and that's it, full stop. But the more important thing after the reading was me insisting with my wife that I have to meet this guy behind it. I have to meet this Israeli guy. I have to introduce myself to him. I have to show my appreciation to him from a Palestinian point of view, you know. And I did. I met him after the play in the theater, and we swapped numbers and we decided to meet again.
After the reading of the play, I continued to chat with Fadel, and we realized that Fadel already met some of my colleagues. What a coincidence. From all the people in the world, from all the people in Israel, and from all the people in Combatants for Peace, he knows my closest colleagues. And we were laughing how life is surprising, and I asked him, where are you from? Where do you live? He said, I live in Romelton. So where do you live? I said, I live in Romelton. So it was amazing, and he just live here. You know, if you look outside this window, that's his house. Just above the church, this line of houses there. Fadel is the one that is just above the other side of the church, and there is a river between us. So we need to build now a mosque. And a synagogue. Okay. And then
it will be an international holy city.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So the move is not so hard supposed to be to me, from the Holy Land to the Holy City. It took me a while to text and to say, let's meet. For many reasons, I think it was...
Were you scared?
Yeah, a little. Not scared, but I was... because I think there is intimacy that created with people. And, you know, friendships can be... You can make friends and people continue their life, but I knew that this is more than a friendship, because of our different backgrounds and our stories.
I was also reluctant to meet Idan as well. I was excited, but at the same time a bit reluctant to meet him, because I didn't know whether it was just that he's a director, a playwright, and he just happened to come across this story and just wanting to show off his skills and just write a play about this person, and that's it, full stop. I didn't know how deeply involved he was or how deeply he connected or understanding of the situation. So I was a bit hesitant. For me as a Palestinian, I think we are born with politics in our blood, and being so politically opinionated through family and through reading, I was excited to meet Idan, to talk, to release that those opinions that I have, those ideas that I have, those judgments that I have, everything that I have, because it's so difficult. Like, I've been here 6.5 years almost in Ireland, and I've never had the experience of expressing my deep inner feelings of the situation to anybody. It was talk, that's what it was, non-stop talking.
And a lot of Guinness.
Well, a lot of Guinness.
At some points, I think we both couldn't finish our last pint.
Yeah, I think so. But it was a lot of talking, a lot of listening, a lot of seeing each other's point of view. We didn't agree on many things. We agreed on other things, but that's what it is. I wasn't looking for somebody to agree with me. I was looking for somebody just to listen to me so that I can release this tension inside of me. And Idan was perfect for me because he came from the opposite side.
We always laugh that Ramelton is still a peaceful town, even though there is an Israeli here, a Palestinian there.
Fadl jokes that if they had met in the Middle East, it would probably have been looking at each other down the barrel of a gun. And here's the thing, despite the obvious differences, like that they come from opposite sides of the Arab-Israeli conflict, they have found amazing similarities in their life stories. Their grandfathers settled within kilometres of each other near the ancient port city of Acre in Palestine. Fadl's grandfather, also called Fadl, built his first home in a small village there in 1936. Idan's grandfather, Hans, fled Nazi Germany at the age of 16 to a kibbutz in the same area. He thought the move would be temporary. When Fadl Sr. later fled with his family across the border to Lebanon, he also thought it would be no time until he would be able to return to his land and home. By the time Fadl Mustafa Sr. died, he was frustrated and angry at not being able to provide for his family. Hans Mir died, also depressed and frustrated, having realized that the country that had given him hope as a teenager had taken the wrong direction.
Our work and also to enjoy the evening and to have some fun.
Now their grandsons find themselves in a position where they can begin to address the wrongs of the past.
Even though there is a quiz at the end that we call it, whose land is it anyway?
Like when they brought Cafe Jerusalem to Letterkenny last
summer.
It doesn't
mean that it's politically incorrect. Today we're going to celebrate the similarities and the things that unite us and not the things that divide us. Okay. Let's get to the hummus. So what's the story with the hummus?
The hummus is traditionally a Middle Eastern food.
You mean Israeli food?
No, Middle Eastern. You Israelis came into the Middle East, but the Middle East existed before the Israelis came into the Middle East. So that's why hummus is a Middle Eastern food.
But the falafel?
Also Middle Eastern.
But the falafel is the traditional Israeli food. You can't, every corner in Israel you eat falafel.
Of course, yes, because that is because there are Arabs among you.
But why can you give us at least the falafel?
Why do you want to take over our falafel?
It's our falafel.
Why do you want to occupy my falafel? Why do you want to occupy my hummus?
Give me the hummus, I give you the falafel.
I will not.
What do you mean?
I'll give you hummus and falafel, you give me some piece of land.
Okay, yeah, that's a deal, and I will teach.
It's hard to say what could have happened if I hadn't met Aoife. I think I'd still be frustrated. I'd still be politically involved, but not politically expressive. I think there would have been a build-up of frustration and anger, and maybe it could have led to violence, I don't know. I would have missed on all the opportunities that I'm involved in now. You know, I wouldn't have made friends with another Israeli. I wouldn't have been able to bring the message across of what the Palestinians are feeling like. I'm very proud to be here among people who have decency to accept that what's happening to the people in Palestine, specifically the people in Gaza during the recent assault, is inhumane and it's unbearable. Nobody can accept it. And that's why I feel very proud that I'm surrounded by people who not only feel it but act on it and try to do something to change things and to improve things for people in Palestine. The last time I went to Dubai to visit my father before he passed away, he was asking me how are things in Donegal, how are things in Ireland, how are things in Remelton. But yeah, I told him jokingly, things are fantastic. You know, I'm involved in many things. And he goes, I know. And I said to him, people of Ireland have become more Palestinian than the Palestinians themselves. You know, they're doing things. People have heart. People have the freedom to act here. And I'm very fortunate that I'm part of it, that I'm involved in it. And I'm fortunate that I am in a place where I am allowed to act as well, where I'm allowed to do something. And I once showed him a picture, a video. I was on Skype and I showed him a video of the Palestinian flag outside my front door in our new house. And the first thing he asked me is, where's the Irish flag? I swear to God, he said, where's the Irish flag? I said, oh, I don't have an Irish flag. You need to put an Irish flag side by side the Palestinian flag. I said, okay, I will try to find one. And I'm still looking, by the way. A same size, similar size as the Palestinian flag, which is a big flag, by the way.
How Did I End Up Here is a Soft Irish Rain production for Highland Radio. It was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with a television licence fee.